today's episode is about something that I struggled with a lot during my first year of teaching, and that is consistency. Now, research shows that when there is consistency in the classroom, kids feel safer. They feel safer with routines and structures because it makes it predictable. They know what to expect. So in today's episode, I'm going to be sharing three ways that you can create consistency within the classroom to set your students up for success in math. Let's get started. Welcome to Solving for the Undefined podcast. I'm your host, Johanna, founder of Ms. Kuiper's Classroom, the place that equips teachers in creating a healthy math classroom where students can thrive, no matter their academic abilities. But it's not always about the numbers, and that's why I'm here, bringing you the formulas to solve your problems, math and otherwise, plus strategies on cultivating that necessary math mindset. And that's what you can count on. Hello, hello, welcome to episode 43. I'm going to start this episode off by sharing the definition of the word consistent. Consistent means reliable, steady, marked by harmony, regularity, or steady continuity, free from variation or contradiction. The reason I share the definition is I want to make sure that we're all on the same page as we move forward in this episode. I want us to all know what exactly it means to be consistent. Because, as I stated in the intro of this episode, kids feel safer when there is consistency in the classroom. They work better, they learn better, and they are overall being able to be more productive in a consistent environment. And when it comes to creating this consistent environment, I kind of find three main areas we can do that: structures and routines, problem solving, and visuals. So we're going to start off with that structures and routines. Now, this encompasses anything from your weekly schedule to your daily agenda to everything that you do within the day. Looking at the broad view of a week, I made sure that last year and this year, every Wednesday was iReady Wednesday. Our class periods are shorter on Wednesday, so it lent itself really well for us to work on just iReady lessons. So every Wednesday, students would come in, we'd do our bracket vote, and then we'd move into getting our Chromebooks and working on iReady. Now, in addition to doing iReady Wednesdays, what I'm trying to do this year to be consistent with it is, on Mondays, we start off the class with a community circle. That is where we get in a circle in the back of the classroom, sitting down, and we just whip around the whole group, giving a rating for our weekend. And then every Friday, closing out the class period with another circle, giving a rating for the week, and kind of what plans do you have for the weekend. Now, zooming into maybe a day type of structure or routine, I try to make sure that each day looks similar. Every day students come into class, they grab a card from me, and that tells them what group they are sitting in that day. Then once everyone is in their seats and the bell rings, I greet the class and I go over a quick agenda for the day, and then we do our bracket vote. Right now we're doing which is seriously the best or serialistically the best. And then from there we go into our doodle time, which is on whiteboards, because the next activity is going to be on individual whiteboards. And I found that when students take time to doodle on whiteboards, it helps them differentiate between doodle time and work time. But I make sure I add that in there every single time we use whiteboards to give it that consistent structure. And then after doodle time, we go into our thinking task. Now, this is our warm-up, but I want to make sure that my warm-up is actually priming my students' brain to actually think. This isn't necessarily previously learned material. I like to do new material before old material. And my warm-up problems tend to be like an estimation problem. So estimation180.com has fabulous resources there. I typically do a notice and wonder with it and then move into the estimation part. Some other great ones are which one doesn't belong or which one is unique. And then another one that I've recently done is crack the code/Pico Fermi bagel. That is where there is a 3-digit number and they're given clues to kind of figure out what that 3-digit number is. And within that, in that routine, I want to make sure that all of my warm-ups or thinking tasks are always on whiteboards. That's just another piece of the puzzle. And then This week, because my students are working on the iReady diagnostic, after we finish that thinking task, we're moving into the diagnostic time. And within that, there is a structure and routine. So once we're done with our thinking task, I'm going to tell my students, all right, groups 1, 2, and 3, grab your Chromebook and headphones and head back to your desk. And then 4, 5, and 6, 7, 8, 9. And I know that sounds so little and minute in the grand scheme of structures and routines, but even having that smallest piece of 1, 2, and 3 always goes first, 4, 5, 6 always goes next. It gives predictability to when students are going to get their Chromebooks, when they're getting up, when they're asked to be doing something. So to make this actionable for you in your classroom, I want you to think, what are the 3 main things that you can do throughout the day? Maybe you start off with an attendance bracket like I do. Then you do a warm-up and then you do your daily thing, whether that's notes, activity, whatever. Or maybe you start off with notes and then you go into an independent work and then you end with an exit slip. Whatever your 3 things are, you want to make it consistent so students know what to expect every day. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to do the exact same projects or activities every single day, but the structure of your day is the same. Moving into the problem solving of the consistency in the classroom, this one's a little abstract, but I feel like it's very important. When I talk about consistency with problem solving, that's more on me as the teacher than it is with the students. So when I give students a thinking task, the way that I approach my students when they ask me questions is always the same. When students ask me, is this correct? My immediate response is, what do you think? And a lot of the times, like right now at the beginning of the school year, students are like, well, I don't know. And so my follow-up to that is, can you walk me through your process? Because then as I'm prompting students to walk me through their process, they either gain confidence in what they did, or they sometimes find what they tripped themselves on in the process. Another phrase that I use, and I talk about this back in episode 38, is I see how your brain is thinking. Typically, I use this phrase in response to students gave an incorrect answer, but I understood how their thought process got them there. And it kind of signaled to students that they were wrong, and that's kind of what they stuck on. So this year, as I ingrain that into my daily vocabulary with my students, I want to use it in both positive and when students are incorrect ways. So if a student gives an answer, I'm like, wow, I see how your brain is thinking. Or if a student is incorrect, be like, I see how your brain is thinking. Can we rethink this part? And my hope is by using it in situations where students are correct and where students need to recorrect their thinking, that it won't stigmatize the phrase into being only when students are incorrect. I'll let you know how that goes, though. It's definitely a work in progress. Another way to be consistent with the problem-solving process is what you have students do before they ask me, the teacher, for help. And one of the ways I do this is I have a poster on my wall with 8 different things that students can try before asking me as the teacher for help. So the things on the poster, the I'm stuck now what poster, is draw a picture or diagram, talk to your team, reread the problem, break the problem into smaller parts, look back at your notes, list out what you know, use manipulatives or a calculator, and if they've done all those things, then ask the teacher. So I want to make sure that when students come to me and ask me a question, I refer back to them, so what strategies have you tried so far? And then they can list off what they've tried so I know that they are not just coming to me as like a cop-out rather than they've actually truly need help. So an action step for you in this would be to take those ideas and figure out which one you want to start with. Is it the, I see how your brain is thinking? Or is it when a student asks, is this right? Be like, well, what do you think? Are you confident in your answer? Try one of those phrases out with your students today, this week. See how it goes and how it feels for you. And then move on to another phrase and add that into your vocabulary as well. I'm interrupting today's episode to ask you a vital question. Do you have the tools in your classroom for student success? will wonder no more because I have a way for you to check your work. My new guide, 7 Math Teacher Must-Haves for Student Success, has the top 7 items you need in your classroom. From classroom staples to manipulatives that are often missed, this checklist will ensure that your students have a successful school year. Additionally, each item shows the best budget and splurge options. Download your guide after listening to today's episode by going to misskuypersclassroom.com/must-haves. Moving into the third way that you can be consistent in the classroom is with visuals. I am a huge advocate for using slides within your classroom, and I like to make sure that my slides are consistent and the same every single day. The structure is the same. And the reason I like it to be the same is if students have a question about what they're working on, what page number we're on, how much time do we have left, when does class end, all of that information is on the screen. It's on the slide. And they can just know exactly where it is because I'm teaching them that the answer to their question, their clerical question as I like to call it, is on the screen. Now I talk a lot about the details of what is on those daily slides back in episode 37, so I'm not going to go super in depth here. When students come into the class, I have the same structured slide every single day. It has the learning target, the date, what materials they need, our attendance bracket vote, and then the meme of the day. But students, when they walk in, they can see all of that. They know what materials they need to get out. They can think about which cereal they're going to vote for. It's all on the screen. And then once we get into our doodle time, it's the exact same screen every single time. It has their instructions of you need to make sure everyone in your team has a whiteboard and a marker and an eraser. You have 2 minutes to doodle, and there's a 2-minute timer. Same one every single time. Then when we get into our thinking task, it's always the same structure. It has the what are we doing, how to do it, so the materials you need, who you're doing it with, and then a where to do it. So are you sitting at your desk? Are you at your vertical whiteboard? Where are you in the classroom? And then what to do when you're done. So if you finish up before the 3-minute timer or however long it is up, what should you do next? Are you turning and talking with a neighboring team? Are you putting your pencil down as a signal for the teacher that you're done? What are you doing next? And of course, on that slide, it's a picture of whatever we're doing. So maybe it's the actual problem, or it's a picture of the template that they're using, something. It's going to be on the screen as well. And that same structure applies for when students are working in groups on a task or an independent work. The structure is the same. The what to do, how to do it, where to do it, what to do when done, the timer, and a picture of whatever they're doing. And the reason I have it the same, as I said before, is when students ask me a clerical question, it's on the screen and I can just show them where it is. And like I say in episode 37, do not use your voice to tell students what it is after you've already said it once. Otherwise, you're having them become dependent on you rather than the slides you work so hard to make. So, to take this into action for you in the classroom, one, I have a free downloadable template for daily slides that you can use in your classroom. I will link them in the show notes as well as the description down below. If you are a teacher who prefers not to use slides within your classroom, make sure you have some type of information similar to what I shared here on your whiteboard every single time you release students to do something so they have something to refer back to. That consistency allows them to be safe and understand what they're doing in the moment and not have to be like, I wasn't listening for a second. What are we doing? And then have them be afraid to ask. And that's their barrier rather than, oh, it's right there. I can just read it again. In summary for what we talked about today, one, students feel safer when there's routines and structures because they know what to expect and it's predictable. Two, we want to make sure the structure and routines within our week and within our day and within our lessons are the same every single time, be predictable for our students. Three, we want to be consistent in the way we approach problem solving within the classroom, whether that's the phrases we use or the way we want students to work towards problem solving in a situation. And four, the visuals that we use within our classroom. Example, the daily slides or what you have on the whiteboard for students. And with that, I'll calculator. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. To find all the links and resources to things talked about in this episode, head on over to MissKuypersClassroom.com and click on podcast.